Our scripture reading today is Psalm 118, starting in the 19th verse. We open the service with the first four verses. So 118, 19 through 29, on page 921 in your pew Bible. And if you're using the large print, it's on page 1449. Today's message is entitled, Give Thanks to the Lord. Starting the 19th verse. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and all-knowing, ever-present, mighty God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy, inspired, inerrant word. Sufficient for all things having to do with salvation. Powerful and effective. Always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out. Never returning void. Heavenly Father, may God the Holy Spirit prepare us to receive what you desire to reveal. Let us have eyes to see, ears to hear. Do not let this preacher get in your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord. We thank him for the sun. Do we thank him for the rain? We thank him for the joy. Do we thank him for the pain? We thank him for gains. Do we thank him for losses? We thank him for blessings. Do we thank him for crosses? Authors unknown. So I'm going to claim it. No. We are to give thanks day by day, each and every day. For some time now, I have made it my personal practice to recite verse 24 when I first wake up in the morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And then I continue. Thank you for this day, Lord. I pray that you help me live into my baptism. Thank you for my adoption into your heavenly family. Thank you for Christ's victory over sin and death. And then I continue to pray. We cannot relive our past days. Don't waste time in your past. And we should not focus on the future and miss the blessing of today. We must live day by day. Each day is a gift. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later, as I older grew, time flew. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah. Well, there's another line for this. Soon I shall find while traveling on, time is gone. The author is that Henry Twelves. Now, you have heard me mention the lectionary in the past. It's a three-year schedule of scripture readings. The idea is that over a three-year period, you can have an overview of the entire Bible. Now, next week, you probably all know what next week is. Palm Sunday, right? Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, it is called, right? And when you check that lectionary schedule for the readings, for each year of the cycle, it's the same reading, Psalm 118, repeated each year. So I'm a week early because I have a different scripture that I want to preach next week. What connection between, what is the connection between this psalm and Palm Sunday? There are many voices that point to Jesus and to what is commonly called his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, but the most important connection is made by the Lord Jesus himself by the telling of a parable. And in the synoptic gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, not John, Jesus tells the parable of the tenants. He tells it after he has come to Jerusalem during the last few days before he was crucified. So in Holy Week, he tells this parable. Now, your Bibles may have it as a little title over it, says parable of the tenants. I would call it the parable of the ungrateful tenants. Jesus says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it and dug a wine press in it and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect the fruit, his fruit. The tenants seized the servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. When the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end. Well, in Mark and Luke, it says that he will kill them. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. And Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone or cornerstone. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. And the chief priests and Pharisees heard Jesus' parables. They knew he was talking about them, right? He's talking about Israel and the prophets and the reaction of the nation, the people of Israel. He's confronting the religious leaders that are rejecting him. So when the chief priests and Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. And they looked for a way to arrest him. But they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. So Jesus quoted Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23, word for word. And he is claiming to be the capstone or cornerstone. This concept of Jesus being the capstone or cornerstone is embraced by the New Testament writers. It is used to convey a critical question that every human being must answer. Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 21. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Of course, this is a metaphor. It's talking about the church that God is going to build, that he holds it all together. And then Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, you may remember that Peter and John had healed the lame beggar at the temple gates, and he had asked for money. And Peter says to him, I don't have silver or gold, but I will give you what I have, right? And the beggar was healed. So there, Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin being questioned. And he says, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone, he, Jesus, is the stone your builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. No other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. What other name? None. Only the name of Jesus. And Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobeyed the message, which is also what they were destined for. Well, let's look at other verses in Psalm 118 that pointed Jesus in his journey into Jerusalem. In verses 19 through 21, the gates of salvation are sought out. Of course, on a basic level, Jesus and everyone else can only enter the holy city of Jerusalem by going through its gates. But there is a higher plane on which to view these verses. Jesus said in John 10, verse 9, you probably know this verse, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus is the gate through which we enter into our salvation. He is the only gate. Our righteousness is Christ's righteousness. God the Father looks at us and sees God the Son's righteousness. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How else? No other way. Only through Jesus. In Acts, the Apostle Peter calls Jesus the holy and righteous one. And then in the second letter of Peter, he opens it with Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of God and Savior, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle John in Revelation 19, verse 11, he says, then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and there sitting on it, was one called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Jesus is the gate of righteousness. I ask you, are you thankful for the salvation found through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Psalm 118, verse 26 says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, in Matthew 21, 9, on Palm Sunday, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the same phrase is repeated in the other three Gospels in the same way. This phrase, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All four Gospels have this phrase. And then Psalm 118, verse 27, the next verse, with bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. Well, they're talking about branches, right? Branches, boughs of the trees. Matthew 21, verse 8. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And Mark says the same thing. But the Gospel of John says they took palm branches. That's why it's Palm Sunday, right? They took palm branches and went out to meet him shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Now the reference to the horns of the altar speaks to the animal sacrifices made to God in the Jerusalem temple. The animals would be tied to the horns of the altar and then killed. That is why Jesus went to Jerusalem, right? His time had finally come. And Jesus verifies this in John 10, verses 17 and 18. Jesus says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Jesus says, I'm laying down my life, right? Not that someone's taking it from me. I'm laying it down. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. What kept Jesus tied to the altar of sacrifice, the Calvary cross? And I don't mean the nails. It was love. It was love of Son for the Father, and the love of the Father for the Son, and it was the love of God for humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You all know that verse. But there's two more tied to it. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Brothers and sisters, are you thankful for the enduring love of your Savior? Psalm 118 begins and ends the same way. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. As this thought frames the scripture, it should frame our lives. Do you know that God is good? Do you know it? Good. Reflect on the ways in which God has shown his love to humanity and to you individually. Each day, we should begin and end by giving thanks with a grateful heart. Frame your future with gratitude towards your faithful Father. Frame your future with gratitude towards your faithful Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher Adrian Rogers shares this illustration. A man came up to a beggar sitting on the street corner, and the man said to the beggar, hoping to make him feel better, God give you a good day, my friend. And the beggar looked up at him and said, I've never had a bad one. The man said then, well then, God give you a happy life, my friend. And the beggar looked up at him and said, I thank God that I'm never unhappy. And the man couldn't understand that. And he said, what do you mean that you've never been unhappy? And this is what the beggar said. He said, when the weather is fine and the day is fine, I thank God for it. He said, when it rains, I thank God for it. He said, when I have plenty, I thank God for it. And when I'm hungry, I thank God for it. Since God's will is my will, whatever pleases him pleases me. Why should I say I'm unhappy when I'm not? And the man said, who are you? And he said, I am a king. He said, where is your kingdom? And the beggar said, in my heart. And the man said, and the man had learned a secret. Do you know this secret? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it's a beautiful thing the way your spirit guides in the study of your scripture. When we see the way it's connected, how it's woven together. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ authenticated we are encouraged. Lord, we know that your word not only guides us, it corrects us, rebukes us when needed. It exhorts us, encourages us. Lord, let us hunger for the things of God. Let us yield to God within us, God the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us truly be thankful. Let us understand that without you, we would not have our next breath. That we are totally dependent. That we should divest ourselves of anything that hinders or encumbers us in our walk with Jesus. Lord, let our hearts be sincere. Let us be wholehearted in love with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.